Blog Talk Radio.
October 10th, 2022, and this is Kitchen Politics 123. We thank you for joining us. And tonight is Season 2, Episode 27, Open Mic Night. Everything political tonight will be discussed. Call us at 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. We love hearing from everybody. 30 days away until midterms 2022. Are you ready? Subscribe on Facebook.com/KitchenPolitics123. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Welcome to the show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Good evening, everyone. This is Lori from New Mexico, and I hope everyone's doing well. And let's see what's going on in the world today.
Yes, yes. The generous six committees are going to meet. They're going to meet soon again. Is it Wednesday coming up? 1 p.m. Some people posted at 10 a.m. Well, I think it's 1 p.m. we're going to start. Why couldn't this put in prime time?
Yeah, it is. It's 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Okay, gotcha. 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Correct.
So it's not all the confusion.
Yes. That's a confusion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Glad we cleared that up. So how are you doing? How is Michigan?
Oh, boy. We are in a battle zone here. As far as Governor Whitmer this morning, I read crazy Tudor Dixon is trailing her now. But I don't know how. You know, I don't know how accurate that is, but this is from The Hill, and it says that she's holding a 6-point lead, you know, and Tudor Dixon, if you want to just go through how different they are, 180 degrees different. I mean, you cannot be more polar opposite than these two candidates. You know, Governor Gretchen Whitmer has been a good governor. I'll just go a few of since you've asked, I'm going to go through a few things of what she's done, and then I'm going to just tell you what Tudor Dixon is about, to see if everyone can understand the polar difference. Okay, so Governor Whitmer has made the highest per pupil investment in K-12 education, the largest in Michigan's history without raising taxes. She used $100 million of the federal COVID relief dollars to improve child care facilities and reverse extremely high rates of teacher turnover, particularly in the early childhood education. She invested $200 million to vet and to pay tutors, helping children catch up after 2 years of academic disruption, you know, from the pandemic. She expanded high-quality pre-K education and affordable child care, made serious investments in student mental health care and school safety, and she opened up tuition-free community college and apprenticeship programs for 170,000 Michiganders, helping train the workforce and grow businesses to create good-paying union jobs. Now we have Tudor Dixon. And this is what she stands for. She's a conservative political commentator. And she believes that we should take away money from public schools to pay for private schools. And proposes using public tax dollars to fund private corporate schools. She says it was a gimmick to provide relief to parents by freezing the sales tax on school supplies. That was not a gimmick. Mm-hmm. She did do it. Was it a big deal? No, but it was something. Has adopted the anti-public education platform of the billionaire. We all know Betsy DeVos. She was the former Secretary of Education under Trump. She's backed by various business interests that stand to benefit from privatizing education, and her tax plan would give DeVos and other billionaires millions in tax breaks and take away $3.5 billion in taxpayer funding from public schools. She is also where Governor Whitmer is pro-abortion, pro-choice, I'm sorry. And Tudor Dixon is definitely anti-choice for any reason at all, including rape and incest. So I hope everyone understands how different these two women are and how important it is for us to reelect our governor.
Yeah, I think the reason why Tudor Dixon is 6 points behind is because, you know, so much money is being pumped in her campaign from the DFOS source and also out-of-state sources who are billionaires.
Yeah.
You know, they want this at every cost, and they don't care who they're hurting. They don't care about, you know, anything relevant to the people of Michigan and helping them. So I hope good sense prevails. And I'm suspecting that Gretchen Whitmer will win this election by double digits because people are too savvy. And nobody likes Trump. And she is like on the thumb of Trump and a Trump worshipper. So I don't think she'll come even close. You know?
Yeah,
and it depends on who they... It depends on who did a survey as well, you know, because there are conservative activists out there who would do surveys and give their person, hope.
I try not to watch polls too much or pay too much attention to polls, but I thought it was important to, you know, just talk about their differences because they are definitely polar opposites. I mean, we couldn't find anyone more MAGA than, you know, Tudor Dixon. That's, you know,
and,
within itself.
Yeah, we'll keep saying every show that women go with a difference in this election. And what Republicans don't want women to remember is in 1974, Republicans and conservatives voted against Equal Credit Act that would allow women to apply for their own home cars and mortgage loans. They're saying men should always co-sign. Second point is in 1978, they voted against the Pregnancy Act. They wanted to keep the employer's rights to fire pregnant women. In 1980, they voted against allowing women to report sexual harassment in the workplace. Would excuse men will be men. In 2012, they voted against the equal pay for equal work for women. Men should be paid more. You know, that's what Republicans were saying, basically. Mm-hmm. In 1994 and 2012, they voted against Violence Against Women Act, which helped victims of domestic violence and rape and educate law enforcement. In 1972, they voted against selling birth control to single women until the Supreme Court made it available for all. So Republicans, you know, there's a war against women by the Republican Party and by conservatives. You know, who call themselves Christians, which is bullshit, really. You know, it's coming to, the chicken's coming home to roost. And I don't care what anybody say. I think Democrats will squeak over the victory. And we're going to, you know, raise the seats in the U.S. Senate. We just need to make Joe Manchin and Sinema from Arizona, you know, redundant. That we don't need them. They're all playing kingmakers anymore. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi is going to be the next Speaker of the House again. Republicans mm-hmm. can talk all the rhetoric they want. They can, you know, try, you know, put smoke screens up and try to confuse people. But we all know what's mm-hmm. happening. And if they come in, they know Trump has a chance of coming in. Because if, God forbid, they win, they want to put Trump as Speaker of the House and impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And he be mm-hmm. second in line to the presidency, and all hell would break loose after that. So, you know, it's time that America wake up and smell the coffee. I think they know what's going on. And like I said before, everybody hates Trump, even Republicans who are kissing his ass in public mm-hmm. behind closed doors are saying, you know, he is mm-hmm. crazy and should be in prison.
Yeah.
So it's going to panic soon with the January 6th committee.
Absolutely. You know, and you're absolutely right. And I also think that independents have had enough, you know, Republicans mm-hmm. that have common sense have had enough, you know, mm-hmm. we've all had enough. I am sick to death of every single day listening to the rhetoric, mm-hmm. the lies, the bullshit that comes out of all of their mouths. I mean, they are mm-hmm. all, they're all, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, talking about wind and solar and, you know, what if it's not a windy day and, you know, how's everything going to work if it's not a windy right. day? And these people listen to her and they clap. Where do they come mm-hmm. from? Do they not understand that our planet is going to burn up, literally going to burn up? I mean, we are mm-hmm. in trouble. Our planet is in trouble, not just in this country, mm-hmm. all over the world. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's time for green energy. It's been time. We've been talking about mm-hmm. it forever. And now it's time.
Yeah.
You know. And then we have yeah. these MAGA Republicans, you know, just talking bullshit out of their mouths. And, you know, mm-hmm. all these rallies. And it just, it's, but they are saying that there are not a lot of people at these rallies. They're saying maybe there's 2,000, 1,500, max 2,500. It is a small percentage. But the thing is they mm-hmm. have big mouths. You know, these mm-hmm. MAGA Republicans have big mouths. And they're all on the same mm-hmm. page. So we just have to continue to, you know, call out their lies and show people that if you want to go forward in this world, today, you know, after November the 8th, if you don't want to be, mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of trouble, and we know what that means, then you have to vote Democrat this time in the mm-hmm. midterms, mm-hmm. no matter what. No matter
yeah,
what.
Definitely. Yeah, so recently, Bill Clinton was on CNN, and he made predictions for the next election coming up in 2022. And,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to play some clips now. He was on Friends. Okay. He was on, what's his name? Fareed Zaheed on CNN show.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is it.
Okay.
Former president at the Clinton's home in Chappaqua, New York. He was gearing up for the Clinton Global Initiative, which starts Monday. This used to be an annual conference, but hasn't been held since 2016. The 76-year-old Clinton is energized that it's been reborn.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
When you look at the midterms, do you think because of abortion and because of the passage of a few very important bills, could Biden break the historical pattern of the, you know, midterms going badly?
Absolutely. But we could hold both these houses. But we have to say the right things. And we have to note the Republicans always close well. Why? Because they find some new way to scare the living daylights out of the swing voters about something. Mm-hmm. That's what they did in 2021, where they made critical race theory sound worse than smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't being taught in any public schools in America. But they didn't care. They just scare people.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, the break point in American politics is much, you know, much different than it was in the 90s. That is, you still have to get those people. It's just that there's so many fewer. Because as the parties have gone more ideological and clear and somehow psychically and column, they pull fewer of the more and more people toward the extremes. But there's still some people hanging on there who are really trying to think and trying to understand what's going on. So I think that's very important. And
the way Tony Blair puts it is he says that, I think I'm paraphrasing correctly, that you and he understood that you had to appeal to people on cultural issues to reassure them that you weren't a crazy-eyed radical. And then they would be open to listening to your economic policies, which were going to help them. But if they thought you were somehow alien, they were just not going to be listening.
That's right. For example, and it applies to other things. I mean, when we succeeded in breaking the filibuster and getting the assault weapons ban passed, I said, look, I grew up in a hunting culture. You know, I had a 22 when I was 10 years old, a 410 shotgun, a tiny one when I was 14. I don't want to do anything to interfere with your right to hunt, sports shoot, or protect yourself, especially if you live in a rural area where the police response time might be extended. But if I keep that commitment, wouldn't you like to help a lot of these kids that are being shot down and bought by shootings live? Wouldn't you like to do that? We need your help here. And that's what I did. I didn't call killers. I didn't, you know, talk about the NRA. I talked about people. There aren't so many of them, but you just need a few to flip from one side or the other, and you've got a healthy governing majority. It is hard, and it's much harder now than when I did it, and it was hard then. So, but what Biden reasoned was, I just have to keep at it, and I'll either get something done or I won't, but I can't win a word war with these guys. I've got to win based on things that will help people. And now you see he's getting a little more robust in his rhetoric, but it's because he's got a platform to stand on that will help other people's lives. Politics is about other people. And the problem with the culture war is that it always tries to turn it back to the politicians. What's wrong with them? And this is what the press has to guard against, because if you have to worry about daily ratings, you know, the drama of two people duking it out is far more profound. They affect it. But it always, in the end, winds up helping the right, because it's harder to build a barn than it is to kick one down. And then when you build it, you got to explain what you built and why it's a good thing to put your animals in your barn. And it's just, it's harder, but it's really worth doing.
I'm struck by how, when you watch the Republicans campaigning for this midterm, it's almost all about cancel culture, about critical race theory. It's about what your kids are going to be taught in school. Ron DeSantis' emails, fundraising emails are all about that. Will it work?
No, but look, he's sending Venezuelans and we're coming here freeing the successor to Hugo Chavez, this disaster, because the guy doesn't want to go and he has no economic answers, right? So he sends us to Martha's Vineyard. Why? Because Martha's Vineyard is this symbol of where the elite goes to vacation. And for people who know more on the East Coast, it was also the first place that welcomed black professionals and business people from the South to come and live on equal terms in a community that was largely created for religious reflection and study. So it's, you know, that's what's going on. And I don't know what Massachusetts is going to do, but I'll bet that they will make those people feel at home.
So that was Bill Clinton on CNN, and he was talking about how Democrats can make history and give Joe Biden the Congress he needs to make change. Call in tonight, we're here for 2 hours. It's 515-605-9802. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. And Bill Clinton made some good points, valid points there. It's going to backfire big time on Republicans.
Well, the thing is that, like I was saying before, they are out in full force now, you know, with all the rhetoric and the lies and the bullshit. You know, they're not even hiding, you know, their agenda anymore. And it's not to help America. It's not to help the people. It's all insanity. It's to help themselves, and it's for power, and it's for greed, and it's for, you know, taxing the middle class, for taking away Social Security, taking away Medicare, taking away any social program that helps maybe a child get a sandwich in school. All of that. That is what this extreme party is standing for right now. And people have to understand that, because if you don't get that single message that they are not for the middle class, or even, you know, someone that makes $100,000, $200,000 a year, they don't even care about them. That's peanuts to them. It's nothing to them. They don't care. And that's the bottom line of what they are trying to tell us.
And going to the Pennsylvania race in the U.S. Senate, Dr. Oz had a fundraiser in California recently, and Matt Gaetz's parents sponsored it. And lo and behold, in a backdrop was Hitler's Daimler Benz with a swastika on it, the swastika flag. I mean, they're, as you said, you know, they're just open and blatant with things. You know, this is who they are, the party, fascist, right-wing fringe. And anybody who vote for them, I question their, what's the word? I question their loyalty, their intelligence and their loyalty to the United States and to democracy, because it's obvious that Republicans, you know, want to have a one-party state system like Hitler did and suppress your rights. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of expression, you know, and I mean, if this don't open America's eyes, especially the independents, then I don't know what to say. We're doomed.
Exactly. Absolutely. You know, if people want to believe the, you know, the garbage that, you know, is coming out of their mouth on a daily basis, then, you know, I feel sorry for them. If they don't want to fact check something, or, you know, then I feel sorry for them, because, but the problem is that they bring everyone else down with them. And I don't want to be brought down. You know, I don't want to have to fight any more than what we've been doing, you know, as women fighting for our abortion rights, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's just a fight that, you know, we don't want to have anymore. You know, like here in Michigan, you know, we have Proposal 3 now. And, you know, they are fighting tooth and nail on the other side, you know, to say to vote no on it. You have to vote yes on it, or abortion will be banned in Michigan. And, you know, you have to understand that. You have to, you know, look up what it is. It's a very simple thing. You vote yes, you know, if you're pro-choice. It's as simple as that. That is it. You know, but they make it sound so complicated. You know, like you're doing something wrong, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, Donald Trump was recent in Macomb County, Michigan, and he gave a speech, and I'm going to play some of the speech, and you just can't believe the garbage coming off of his mouth and the reaction by the crowd. First of all, I hear it wasn't a large crowd, you know, but, I mean, God, I mean, who would support this crazy person? Really, I mean, really.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play a 2-minute clip, and you know, pause and tell us what you think. You know, especially if you live in Macomb County, you know, kind of just crazy. This is absolute madness. Here it is.
In income, because of the inflation created just in the last year and a half, think of it, and it's going much higher. All created by the Democrat Party. The increase in mortgage rates means an ordinary home buyer has lost nearly $300,000 in purchasing power. Murders in Michigan. Let's talk about crime. Murders in Michigan are up by over 30%. Carjackings in your state are up by, listen to this one, 764%. We better get Matt DiPerno in there. He'll stop it. Get Tudor Dixon. Get Christina. Matt, you don't like carjackers, do you? I don't think so, Matt. 764% is ridiculous.
Where the hell does he get these statistics? That's rubbish. He put it out of the air. He put it through his ass.
I know.
Oh my God. Oh, my God.
And, I mean, carjackings are up in Michigan. They are up, but not that high. Absolutely not that high. Nobody would have a car. Think about that. I mean, that's just bullshit. And then when you talk about, the Secretary of State that's running against Benson, her name is, and she's another loon, her name is Christina Caramano. Well, there are court records that she threatened to kill her family, and because her husband wanted a divorce. So she threatened to kill her her family, and it's in court records. She was endorsed by guess who? Trump.
Wow.
She was endorsed by him. And you know, it's insane. Her her ex-husband is trying to get custody of the children, so they're fighting against that. They're fighting about that. But this woman is off the rails. She is of course anti-abortion for any reason as well. So this is what we're up against in this country. People, extreme, insane people that do not care who they hurt. I mean, she has two children. She threatened to kill them. So to kill herself and her two children, actually. So I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. How do you think gas prices and inflation could impact the midterm elections? Do you think voters, independents, will think that it's Joe Biden's fault, even though it's not?
I'm hoping not. I have seen since last week here in Michigan, gas prices have gone up. They truly have gone up. And we know that it's not President Biden's fault. I have heard him in several occasions sternly, tell the CEOs and the oil companies, do not raise your prices, because of the hurricane, and use that as an excuse to make more money. But they don't care. They don't listen. And what people don't understand, David, more than anything else, is some people do not understand that he has no control over gas prices.
Exactly.
He does not own the oil, not have stake in the oil companies. He's not on the board. He's not anything in these oil companies. He's only the president of our country. And that is as far as he can go. It's just, try to convince them not to raise prices. Mm-hmm. But that's not going to happen because they're greedy. They're greedy.
And these corporations, these gas companies and oil companies, given heavily to Republicans, even though they're going to commit.
Oh, for sure.
That, they stop giving to Republicans. And,
like
50% of them have started to give again to the Republican candidates. Most of them are election deniers, saying that Biden didn't win the election. So what's that saying about corporations? The thing about corporations, they're about profits. That's it. They don't give a damn about democracy or people's lives or bettering America and going on with experiment, the great American experiment with democracy. They're just for themselves, and it needs to stop. It needs to stop. We're very close to becoming a fascist state. Well, they had a dry run in 2021 in January. And we shouldn't make it happen again because we're better than this. We're the beacon of hope for the world, or ought to be. But, Trump really shit on that big time. Number to call again, 515-605-9802. Welcome to Kitchen Politics. What's cooking tonight, caller? Hello, Carla. You're on air.
It's Sue. It's not Paula.
Oh, hey. Oh, hi.
Oh, no, Paula. Oh, Carla, not Paula.
Carla. Oh, caller. I thought you said Paula. Okay.
No.
Oh, my God, the Republicans. Oh, Lord. What are they for? They only talk about what they're against.
Mm-hmm.
They're not for
mm-hmm.
anything, like you said. You know, they're against Medicare. They're against Medicaid, taking care of people. They're against the students in school because they don't want to. They haven't done nothing. They didn't vote on the infrastructure bill, the COVID bill to help everybody. They were against the factories and everything that Gretchen got, the chip factories
mm-hmm.
and stuff started.
Mm-hmm.
What have
mm-hmm.
they done? Nothing. What are
no,
they
nothing.
For? Nothing except
no.
being in power themselves and being white supremacists. I get so pissed I can't even see straight.
I know. Well, do you know that they just rolled out their four-part agenda, their midterm four-part agenda last week, and it's called the Commitment to America, and it has four broad pillars, by the way, and this is just a little bit. It's they want an economy that is strong, a nation that is safe, a future that is free, and a government that's accountable. Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. What does that all boil down to? They want a nationwide abortion ban. They want higher, you know, drug prices. They want to gut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. You know, they want to raise taxes on the middle class, and they are suppressing the vote. They passed 400 laws last year suppressing the vote. So how is all of this a commit America? Can
it
somebody
isn't.
Answer
it's
that?
It's the rich and powerful, and that's it. You know,
what
it's
think,
them
David?
Against us right now.
Yeah, it's
them against us. They don't give a shit about Americans. They're scared about
no,
war.
And if you're the wrong color, forget
yeah.
it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the working class, screw you.
Oh, yeah. They want to break
Do you think, Leonis, do you think wokeness is the biggest threat to Democrats in 2022 in the woke culture?
You know, I think that's a made-up word by the Republicans because they're
yeah.
full of it. What is woke? It's ridiculous. What is the mm-hmm. word, woke? Oh, you care about the environment? Wow. And you care about people? Yeah. You know, but
mm-hmm.
they coined it as wokeness. It's caring for the people,
mm-hmm.
making us stronger, you know,
mm-hmm.
as a nation. Have everybody that works hard for their money can afford to live in a apartment or a house or buy a car, the basics, you know, the American
mm-hmm.
dream, instead of working your ass off and not making anything and not getting ahead. That's what they call
mm-hmm.
wokeness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's bullshit. The word is bullshit, but they're against anything that helps America. And now all
mm-hmm.
those Republicans say if they lose, it's a crooked election, and they want to take
mm-hmm.
over the election process. But what if they win? Is it still a crooked election?
Yeah, that's the funny
like
part.
Like last time? They said it would, you know, it was crooked, but all the Republicans that got elected, they didn't say anything, did they?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke, you know.
It is. It's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying today, I think it was at CNN, that we might have to have foreign countries come in to manage our elections to make sure they're free and honest, like we do in other communist countries. Now, is that something?
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty scary.
Yes.
Oh, and to talk
scary.
About idiots, I read on the LA Times said that Florida Surgeon General Joseph Ladpo was cited a deeply flawed and unscientific study wrongly advising residents to avoid COVID vaccines.
Oh, yeah. They're crazy.
Can you believe that? And
yeah.
Florida Surgeon General has been labeled a quack and a COVID crank, and his recommendations has less to do with any effort to apply science to vaccine policy than it is well-documented practice of applying politics to that policy, health mm-hmm. policy, because of DeSantis or DeSatan.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and people are supposed to believe this bullshit?
Sadly, some people do.
It's like they're brainwashed, you know? And
yep.
all they care about is, I'm white, so we want it our way, and screw everybody else.
Yep.
And that's their only argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
But Michael Moore, the film director, Michael Moore, did
mm-hmm.
predict that Democrats are winning a blowout. I hope he's right.
He's from Michigan. I know him. I met him. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. we used to shoot the film festival in Traverse City all the time, photography.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I met him a bunch of times. And he predicted Trump would win. So maybe
yeah.
he will be right. I still say
mm-hmm.
the women are going to save us. They're all going to the
yes.
polls. They're all pissed off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
And
I
Maggie
hope that
Haberman.
That is the case.
Mm-hmm. Maggie Haberman, the journalist, she was on Stephen Colbert recently on CBS, and she was saying at this point, we can't ignore Donald Trump. He has too much power. She sat down with Stephen Colbert recently to discuss many revelations in her book, Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump and Breaking of America. She explains why the press cannot ignore the former president and stick around for and why it's important to keep a lid on him. Because Donald Trump basically is a sociopath, and this is some of the interview.
Really nice to have you on. Obviously, I've admired your work for many years. As I said before, I've watched you on the Anderson Cooper Power Hour many, many times. It's really, you know what's interesting? It's fun to see you smile. because you have a lovely smile, but you never smile when you're on panel. You're just like stone face. It's like you're the ultimate poker showdown.
You sound like my father. Thank you.
I am loathe to say to a woman, you should smile more.
Well,
what I'm saying is that you really do really play your cards close to your chest when you're reporting on the former president, as you do in your new book, Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump. And the breaking of 500 pages to get your money's worth with this book. This book, there have been many books about the president, but as it says here on the back, there's a little blurb here from Axios. It says, this is the book Trump fears most. Why do you think, what makes this book different, Maggie Haberman?
I wanted to paint a deeper portrait of Trump. I wanted to go back and look at the world that made him, the specifics of his character, and this is a character study, and Donald Trump does not like people talking about his character. He prefers two versions of a portrait of him, and one is adulation, and one is one that basically makes him sound like a strong man, a very competent strong man. This is neither one of those, and so he doesn't like that.
Okay, so it's not adulation, he's not a strong man. Yeah, I'm sure it's a complex characterization because there's a lot of threads being pulled here. But he actually said, and it says so in the book, I believe, it says that he pointed at you at one point and says, she's like my psychiatrist. What did you think when he said that about you?
That it didn't mean very much, if anything. It was a meaningless line meant to flatter. He was always playing to whatever audience was in front of him. And the reality is that he has said that about his Twitter feed, other interviews he's given. He treats everyone.
A bucket of chicken. Have you ever eaten with him? Have you ever been with him when he eats? Have you ever eaten, seen him eat in front of you?
He's made smiling.
Okay, but if you are, let's just say for a second. I know you're not his psychiatrist, but if you were his psychiatrist, after doing this character study, a deep analysis, if you would, doctor, what would be your diagnosis?
I intentionally didn't write a book of takes. I wrote a book of reporting about who he is. And so my diagnosis, I think, is in the book, and I hope people read it.
I feel vaguely scolded for asking that question.
No.
I did not do takes, Stephen.
Not that.
Okay.
No. Just, but it's reporting, and I want people to read the reporting.
Well, there's amazing stuff here. There's a bombshell in this book. One of the things we learned here, this is reporting you did for the New York Times, but it's also in the book. He flushes notes and government documents down the toilet. He mistook staffers of color as the waiters at the White House. He insulted Angela Merkel, called her that B. Did he say that B or did he say B-I-T-C-H?
The latter.
The latter?
Yes.
Okay.
He didn't spell it.
He didn't spell it? Could he spell it? So let's go on. What do you think of the book upsets him the most?
The flushing documents down the toilet. I think that was what upset him the most. He had an immediate and pronounced and angry reaction to that reporting when I put it out many months ago. It was reporting that I had caught. He issued a statement. It was a phone call to the world. And I think his exact statement was, his question was, who would know that? Which I think was actually a literal question that he was asking. But he asked it out loud.
Right.
But it made him quite angry. And then he spent some time asking some of his aides, you know, what do you think of that reporting? And usually that's because he's trying to figure out whether something is damaging to him or not, or how much more could be there.
You all have photographs, too. There were photographs of the stuff torn up at the bottom of the toilet.
There were in two different toilets in two different countries, one this one and one overseas.
Wow. And so spreading it out, not the clog of one pipe. Very thoughtful. Very obsessed. Remember how obsessed he was with, like, low-flow toilets? Now we know why.
I think it may have answered some questions.
Can you talk about the role the media played in the rise of the former president, politically, I mean? How much of that and his success in politics and the trust that people had in him had to do with the success of The Apprentice?
An enormous amount. I think without The Apprentice, there is no Donald Trump presidency, because he was basically playing himself on a television show. It was produced by a fan of The Art of the Deal, Mark Burnett. And, you know, it was all staged. It was creating. The people who were involved in the show have talked about how they were trying to make a sort of broken down, eroding empire look magnificent for the screen. And
what do you mean? Like, how so?
They built a conference room on a set.
No.
You know, they, when they were filming in one of the casinos, they realized it looked a little dingy. You know, it had been better days. And so he was basically built up to this, you know, sitting in a leather-backed chair, and he came up with this catch line, "You're fired," which the producers of the show realized was gold, and he was emulating George Steinbrenner, the former owner of the Yankees, when he did it. But this was a presentation that viewers saw, and I didn't really understand this until I was not an Apprentice watcher, but I didn't really understand this until I was in Iowa, and I was interviewing voters during the Iowa caucuses in 2016. And I was asking people at one of his final rallies in Dubuque, Iowa, a very leading question, which was basically, are you here because this is the last time you're going to see him, the spectacle's ending? And I kept getting these answers. Now I'm caucusing for him, and one man looked at me like I had eight heads when I asked the question and said, you know, I'm caucusing for him. And I said, why? And he said, I watched him run his business. And he meant The Apprentice. So without The Apprentice, which was television. It was the art of television. Yeah.
Wow. And we know that television can be an enormous good in the world. We know that.
I mean, that's right. Yeah.
So speaking of the harm that television can do in many different ways, do you think that it is possible to, or the right thing to do, I think it's possible to ignore a former president who doesn't want to be ignored. Because you can ignore George W. Bush, he just goes and paints, you know, but in fishes and stuff like that, and, you know, let him do that. But we struggle with that here, is that, you know, I don't decide what the stories are. We're talking about what people are talking about. And he just won't go away. Can he be ignored?
Yeah, so that's Maggie Haberman. She was on Colbert on CBS recently, and her book is Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump and the Breaking of America. It's 500 pages. You should go out and order it and read it. It's a very good read. So with these things coming out in a book and the January 6th committee meeting soon, what do you think revelations will be coming out in the latest January 6th hearing, Lori?
Well, I'm hoping that Ginny Thomas is going to be questioned. I hope that revelation comes out. I also hope that Kevin McCarthy gets burned really bad. I think that he went along with everything that was going on in that White House leading up to January 6th and talked out of both sides of his mouth. He said yes, sir, to Trump and to others. He was condemning what he was doing. So I think he needs to go down too as well. I also read that the woman, I'm trying to think of her name right now. Hutchinson. Remember her, the former White
State? Yes, the young lady, yes.
Yes. She is now cooperating with the investigation of the Trump effort to overturn the election results. So that just came out today. So it's an Atlanta-based prosecutor investigating Donald Trump and his allies' efforts to overturn the 2020 election has secured cooperation from former Trump White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson, sources told. So, you know, this woman, this young woman, I have to say, is one courageous gal. I am sure she has been put up against the wall and threatened, for her to go even one step further, I mean, that says a lot about her and her character.
Exactly.
And I really admire her. I really do.
Yes, and added to which, his financial advisor and accountant, he flipped on Trump, so that should be interesting to watch, his testimony, if they bring it into play. As you said, Ginny Thomas, she had no right in calling Arizona and Pennsylvania and pressuring the electoral voters there to vote for Donald Trump. She is a Supreme Court justice's wife, and that's her role. Justice Thomas should accuse himself of anything having to deal with the insurgency because his wife was a main player in the insurgency. So, hey, he should resign. How about that? That would be good. So let's go back to Maggie Haman's interview and wrap it up with Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
He just won't go away. Can he be ignored?
At this point, no. I don't think you can ignore a former president. One of the things that I found in the course of the reporting and the writing was the real issue, the significant criticism of media relates to the 70s, 80s, 90s, all of these news stories as he's myth-making about himself, describing himself as bigger than he is, describing himself as coming back from bankruptcy when he really hadn't yet. And then he gets to The Apprentice, and that carries him through. By the time he became a candidate, for the reasons I said, a lot of voters in the Republican base believed he was this hyper-successful tycoon. But then he had a real thing. He had a solid base of voters behind him who wouldn't believe anything they were told otherwise about him. And he has them still. Now, he doesn't have the whole Republican Party right now. There are aspects of the party that are not with him. But I think if he's the nominee again, they will be with him. I don't think it's responsible to ignore it. I do think it's responsible to contextualize it.
Now, you were one of the first people taken seriously, maybe the first major reporter to take him seriously. Did you feel like a Cassandra when you were doing that? I was like, no, this guy's not a joke. This guy is real.
I remember in 2011 writing a lot as he was running for president, sort of. He hadn't actually announced.
It was mostly the Obama birth certificate thing was what he was using as a sort of magic carpet.
He was using the birther lie to elevate himself because he saw that it worked. And he was on it much earlier than we realized. He was talking to people about it behind the scenes before he started talking about it in interviews. And he was using it in a very, it was incredibly cynical politics. And he refused to get off of it. And we all thought we were fact-checking him. And in fact, we were just spreading this further, which is something else that I think we all have to think about in terms of how we do our job.
So if you shouldn't ignore him, and what he's saying are lies, but by checking the lies, you repeat the lies and drive them into people's heads so they forget that they're lies and only remember the accusations, what's left?
At this point, we can't ignore him. I think we should have done things differently in 2011, even though I think the media was correct for rebutting this. I just don't think we thought about what the effect was, because he exists in these 10-minute increments of time, but we exist in 24 hours. So
we have to take a quick break, but when I come back, I'll ask Maggie about the moment she suspected he might have taken more documents than he should have from the White House. Stick around.
Yes, man. Yes, yes, yes. Donald Trump, your thoughts on this, Susie? Do you think he will run for president again in 2024? And if he does, do you think he has a good chance of winning?
I think he wants to try to keep himself out of jail, and I'm praying that the DOJ has all those criminal charges all in a row and put him in jail. Is it Georgia that is doing the election fraud thing? Today she got some more stuff going, so I'm hope to God she gets that done pretty quick too. And then you know all the stuff he stole, because they had a lot of empty DOJ secret paper
document
folders empty, and they don't know where the stuff is. And then Cohen said, don't put it past him for making copies of those things, that he might have made copies, too.
Oh, that's
so
true.
All those things should put him in prison for life. I'm crossing my fingers. That's the only reason he's running for reelection, is to keep himself out of jail. He thinks that he can't put a president in jail. They got to get the stuff done before that.
Hopefully it's an October surprise, 1 week before elections, and all these things come out, and with the January 6th committee putting new things out, you know, it would just put a final nail in the coffin of Donald Trump's career, whatever career he had. I asked you for your perspective, Laurie, but we're going to finish the interview with Maggie Haber when she was on Stephen Colbert, CBS Late Show.
That's fine.
Hey, everybody, we're back here with Maggie Haberman from the New York Times, author of the new book, Confidence. Well, I know you're no prophet. You're a journalist. I'm not asking you to oraculate, but do you think that he's going to run in 2024?
I think he has backed himself into a corner where he has to. I think that...
What corner?
The corner is he wants attention, he wants to fundraise, and he's under investigation. And he wants to be able to say the investigations are witch hunts. And he would love to have the constitutional armor the presidency affords him back. So I don't think his heart is particularly in it. He doesn't seem to be enjoying himself with politics the way he once did. Now, maybe that will come again. But I do think at the moment, I think he will run. It doesn't mean he will stay in the whole time, but I do think he will announce the candidacy.
You, in your reporting in here, you say that there's a moment where he sort of admits that he took documents he shouldn't have from the White House. Can you recount that moment for us?
It was a strange and very vague comment. I asked him on a lark if he had taken documents from the White House, mementos. No, I said memento documents.
Okay.
That was the quote. Because he would wave around the correspondence from Kim Jong-un when he was in the Oval Office.
Beautiful letters,
you know, to visitor reporters. He would literally do this. And so I asked him, did you take anything? And he said, nothing of great urgency, no. You know, with no way of knowing that wasn't the case at the time. Then he volunteered something about the letters, the KJU letters, and said something like, we have these great letters. And I said, oh, you took those with you? And registering my surprise, he kept talking like he didn't want to answer the question. And I said, ha, or wow, or something. And he registered my surprise and said, oh, no, those are in the archives. But, you know, we have great things. they weren't in the archives.
They were found later.
And it turned out the archives had been trying to get them back, and huge kudos to the Washington Post for their reporting on this.
And here's for librarians
who really have been a thorn in his side for the last 18 months trying to get government property back. It doesn't belong to him. But
on a certain level, we all wish we were librarians so we could just go. Thank you so much for being here. Confidence Man is available now. It's Maggie Engelman, everybody.
Right back.
Special report.
Yes, man. So that's Maggie Haberman. She's saying Trump backed himself in a corner and have no choice but to run for president in 2024 to have the armor of the president to protect him against prosecution. And her book is Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump and the Destruction of America. Okay, so Lori, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Susie. Do you think he's going to run for president in 2024?
I think because he is the narcissist that he is, and his level of insanity is so high that I kind of agree that he's going to try to run, yes. Only because, like Susie said, he wants to stay out of prison. He knows that he's getting back into a corner. Recently, when he was at a rally, I mean, this kind of ties in to show you how insane he is. When he was just in October the 8th, which was Saturday, he was at a rally, and he said that he accused George H.W. Bush of hiding classified documents in a bowling alley Chinese restaurant. He actually said it. He actually said
that.
So, I mean, that just kind of tells you where he's headed, to the loony bin. But in mind, yes, he wants to run because he wants to stay out of federal prison for the rest of his life, and that's where he really belongs, or a padded cell. So I thought that was funny.
They were trying. They were talking today that he wanted to hide the papers that he had that related to Russia and his, you know, buddy-buddy with Putin stuff and the election interference. He wanted to take those in particular and hide them from everybody.
Yeah.
And they're still looking for that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, yeah, that he stashed those because that's part of the nail in his coffin.
Because
that could be treason.
I keep thinking about that coffin. I do.
Yeah. Okay, so Susie, thank you so much for calling in. We have our next caller from Minnesota coming in next. Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good night, guys.
Have a good night.
Right.
Thank you.
That was Susie from Michigan. Minnesota, hello. What's cooking tonight?
Yes, good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, good.
Excellent.
How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, ma'am. Is this Mike from Minnesota?
Yes, sir.
Yes, welcome
Hi,
back.
Mike.
Welcome
How
back.
How can we help you tonight?
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I noticed you guys were talking about the upcoming midterm elections.
Yes.
So how do you guys see it playing out? Do you think Democrats are going to keep the House and the Senate, or how do you see it flipping, or how do you see it going?
I believe go ahead, David. You can go first and I'll
I see Democrats winning, retaining the Senate. We're going to have a hard run because so many seats in the House are too close to call at this point, but a week is a lifetime in politics. But I think Democrats may scrape through. We'll just have to see how it goes. What's your thoughts, Lori?
I believe because of the abortion issue, and I've said this show after show, that women are going to come out in full force, and they are going to vote blue because of it. They do not want to be taken back into history and have to be forced to go and have abortions that are unsafe for any reason. No one has the right to tell a woman what to do with her body, and I don't care what anyone else says. That's how it should be. It is between you and your doctor, or you and whomever got you pregnant, or however that situation went, but that's who should make the decision, not our government and not a politician. Absolutely not. That's my.
Do you believe that there should be a cutoff point for an abortion? Do you think an abortion should be allowed all the way to the 9th month?
Well, I mean, let's be realistic here. If someone was raped or incest, I don't think they want to carry a child. More than likely, they're not going to want to carry that child. And I'm sure that they will have.
They will have an
abortion because of that reason.
I didn't ask about rape or abortion.
I'm just talking about when the cutoff point. Okay, so what I'm saying to you is things happen during a pregnancy. You can be, 3 months pregnant, 6 months pregnant, and something happens to the baby that could be detrimental to the mother, or maybe the baby dies in the womb. It's happened.
So let's put that part aside. I'm saying if, for example, if a woman decides, let's say 24 weeks in, she doesn't want the baby anymore, not because of a health risk or anything, she just doesn't want it. Do you think it should be allowed at 24 weeks?
24 weeks is a ways away. And I don't think that a woman with common sense would wait 24 weeks. I truly do not think that.
Do you know that women get second and third trimester abortions right now, and in certain states in America that's legal?
And that's been proven wrong in statistics.
Proven wrong by who? What are you talking about?
In statistics. I mean, where do you get your
statistics
from?
I'm getting mine from congressional committees where we have people who either advocate or anti-abortion came out and talked about the numbers. So we had a former abortions doctor by the name of Dr. Leventino who gave a testimony before Congress, and he performed second trimester D&E abortion. And for those who don't know what a second trimester D&E abortion is when the baby or the fetus is too large to be sucked out through the catheter tube, so they have to use what's called the sulfur clamp. And the sulfur clamp is basically like a 14-inch tool. It's got teeth-like grips on the end, and the doctor has to go in and rip the baby out piece by piece. You can look up his testimony before Congress. He detailed the entire procedure. They take the legs out, then the spine, then the organs, the head, and they lie it on the table. Ma'am, you can look it up right now on YouTube. His testimony before Congress.
That's on YouTube.
Ma'am.
Please.
It was done on C-SPAN. His name is Dr. Leventino. He was an abortionist who performed second trimester abortions, and
but
he detailed before
it?
Congress.
What was the hold on one second.
I
want to ask you a question. What was the reason? Was the child dead? Was this baby dead?
No.
Come on.
No, the baby was not dead. He was performing an
abortion. Oh, the baby was alive. So this doctor ripped the baby apart. Do not try to tell me this kind
of
bullshit, okay? Because I won't listen to it. You can look it up right now. He's not a doctor.
Okay.
He's a murderer.
So he lied before Congress. You're saying he lied before Congress?
Yes, he did. Absolutely.
Okay, that's your opinion.
Absolutely.
How do you know that?
How do you know he didn't? How do you know
because
he didn't?
Because it's legal in America
in
to perform
right
a second trimester DNA abortion.
Stop. Who in their right mind, especially a doctor that saves lives, go in and rip a baby apart.
Ma'am, you're the one who's pro-choice. You're the one who's advocating for abortion. Literally, abortion is killing a baby. I mean, what are you talking about?
I am not for killing any baby.
No, but Mike, can I jump in here, Mike?
Ma'am, what does an abortion do? What does an abortion do? Can you tell me that without hiding behind the word fetus?
Okay, I want to know something from you. If you get your girlfriend freaking pregnant, how's this? And she doesn't want to carry that baby. What would you do?
I would tell her not to kill it. I would tell her, don't kill it. I'll take care of it by myself
if
you don't want the baby.
What would you do?
Well, I can't do anything about it, but she's
going
to have to stand before. She's going to have to stand before God.
What would you do with your wife?
She's
going
to stand before God one day because she murdered her child. She's the one that's got to live with that. I don't got blood on my hands. I didn't support it.
Okay. You were part of the process, sir.
That's a hypothetical that never happened to me. I never got a woman pregnant and had her have an abortion.
No one's
so don't project that on me. I got a wife and I got three children. I got a wife and three children. I never had an abortion done. I never told a woman to get an abortion, so don't project that onto me.
I'm not projecting. I asked you a question. I just asked.
But you were saying it like I did.
Right,
that. Like that actually happened.
No, I would never accuse you of
that.
So if a woman got pregnant that I was with and she wanted to get an abortion, I would tell her, listen, if you don't want the baby, I'll take care of the baby. You don't have to be in the baby's life. Please don't kill our child. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you say to that?
How about this, Mike? It's the woman's body. She have the final say. It's between she and whichever deity she believe in. And you just leave it at that.
How do you protect the child then?
What do you mean
protect the
child?
Child?
I'll take care of the child. I'll take care of the child myself. If she
no, 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 no.
To,
I'm talking about the person that wants the abortion. You talking? I'm against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are innocent lives. It's a soul. It's a heartbeat. How do you declare someone dead? So your heartbeat stops, right? So when you detect a heartbeat at 5.5 weeks, okay, that's when a heartbeat is detected.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion should not be allowed. Period. End of story. You're taking a human life, okay, a soul, and that's murder. And that's why it should be stopped. And that's why we all have to have a say because we don't kill innocent
children.
No,
you do not have a say.
Okay,
it is not your body. It is not your choice. It is not your body.
Okay, so what about the vaccine? What about the jab then? What about the jab? What about is it my say on the jab too then? What about the jab? Because this is a good one for liberals. The vaccination
liberal?
That they want to mandate.
It has nothing to do with being a liberal. Don't even
But it's my body. It's my body. I could do what I want. I don't want a vaccination.
What about you? What about you? Okay, I'm going to ask you guys a question, or you a question. Okay, what if all men at a certain age had to have a damn vasectomy because, you know what? Oh, you had an affair over here. So now in court, you had an affair, you got someone pregnant, you have to go have a vasectomy. And you can never have another child. How would you
A vasectomy doesn't include
like that,
killing a baby in the process, but it doesn't include
you
killing a baby.
You wouldn't like that, would you? That's not what I'm saying.
A vasectomy
that's
and an abortion
not
are not comparable.
That is very comparable. Because
no,
that
it isn't.
Is telling you what to do with your body.
Okay, ma'am.
You're not doing what this
the
is
only
doing.
Thing, the only thing from a female perspective that's comparable to a vasectomy is tying an abortion. It's tying it too. That would be the only thing comparable.
David, do we have two people on the line?
Yes. Oh, yes, man, yes. Mike is from Minnesota. What's your first name, sir?
My name is Joe. I'm from North Carolina.
And you're who?
Joe from North Carolina.
My name's
Joe.
I ran for North Carolina House
of
Representatives in District 65, actually.
Of course. They're both men, of course. Of course they're both men. And
what does that have to do with
anti-abortion? Because God forbid if a woman wants to make her own choice with her own body. And I would never say that a baby would be murdered. Absolutely not.
That's what happens in an abortion. You're killing a baby. What are you talking about?
Killing
it's a human
baby.
Life.
Ma'am, what happens
baby?
In an abortion? The baby in your womb, that's what happens when you have an abortion. You kill the baby. That's literally the process.
So, okay, I'm going to ask you guys another question. How's this? Have you guys ever adopted a child that was aborted, that was gone full term, come full term, and...
Do two rhinos dance on a tree limb at the end of the stick? I mean, what difference does that make?
Would you guys
it has nothing to do with murder.
I'm asking a question. Would you adopt a child? Would you adopt
100%.
100%. Have you adopted anybody? Have you?
Yes, my family runs an orphanage in Africa. We take care of orphan children all the time. Mm-hmm. But even if we didn't, that doesn't address the point. You still have an answer, which is what happens in an abortion? Answer me that. What actually takes place when you have an abortion? What's happening?
I've never had a damn abortion. So
I'm asking you what is the procedure?
What do they do in an abortion procedure? I've never sat and watched an abortion.
I'm not asking you to detail it.
I'm telling you that I am pro-choice.
I understand that.
Or any other man to tell me, my daughter, anybody that I know.
My wife and my mother are both pro-life, and they're women. So in your argument, only women can debate this issue. That's what you're saying.
Hey,
men
Mr.
Are
Man.
Hey,
I'm pro-choice. If somebody was raped me, I would abort.
We're not talking about rape. We're not talking about rape. We're not talking about the mother's life at risk. We're talking about when a woman just wants to have the abortion. You're just a sperm donor. So let me ask you, if your life wasn't at risk and you were not raped and you simply did not want to have the baby, are you still justified in having an abortion?
Yep.
See, then there it is. So why bring up the rape argument if you have an abortion anyway? Why do people carry guns?
Why are people shooting all the kids? Nobody gives a fuck about that.
So you are killing a kid. You're admitting it. No, she just admitted it. You are killing a kid, right? That's what's happening. People with guns kill children.
And nobody seems to give a rat's ass until the word abortion gets brought up. And that's the only time people care.
Also, you are acknowledging that an abortion kills a child.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I want you to get. You're the first pro-choice person I've ever talked to that actually admitted that. Every other person I've talked to about this issue.
Well, a lot of women that
they dance around it.
A lot
they
of women
that
get pregnant don't want to be pregnant. You know, we're not made to have 24 children. We're not made to
24 children? Wow. What kind of argument is that? Everyone listening, all that matters is all the Mormons, Christians, and Catholics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys keep talking out your ass. You know,
you just admitted that it's killing a child. You admitted it. So that's all I need to know right there.
What's your fucking point? If
you're admitting that it's killing a child, and you just said with your own mouth that even if you weren't raped or your life was at risk, you would just have it for pure convenience, means you have no issue killing your own child just because you don't want it.
But people don't have issues with guns and killing children that way or another elder or other human.
It's against the law.
It's against the law, though.
It's against the law to kill children with a gun.
But they're not stopping it. I mean, a lot of people carry weapons all the time, and nobody seems to give a rat's ass.
Oh, Lord. Wow.
So you're comparing abortion to be for military and police only? Right. So if you are out hunting,
you get a goddamn shotgun.
Really?
Notice, everyone listening, notice what she compared. She compared abortion to shooting children in school.
Because that's been happening a lot.
No, but you've admitted it.
It's happening a lot because of the mindset of people like yourself.
An abortion, dumbass. You didn't hear my words.
No, it's the same thing because you're killing a kid. That's at the end of the day what you're doing. You're killing an innocent child.
You got a small brain and a small dick, don't you? Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
You go to dinner with that mouth. You go to dinner with that mouth,
wow.
That foul mouth
Fuck
like
yeah,
that.
Fuck yeah, I do.
That's good.
Well, yes, I grew up Catholic.
And people like me and many others are sick and tired of people like you.
Because she's morally degraded. This woman is a moral regenerate.
Okay. All right.
Everybody, hold on.
Ma'am, you're the one advocating for killing a baby.
All right.
You should be ashamed.
Nobody's advocating for anything. We're talking about women's rights. It's up to us.
Women's rights to do what? To murder your own baby?
You guys are just the donors.
That's what you're advocating for.
You as a man, to murder your own child.
And the world is overpopulated with stupidity as it is.
Well, then let's start with you. because you know what? You get idiots like yourself.
Everybody.
Man, if you were in front of me right now, I'd deck you.
Yeah.
Mike and Joel, thank you so much for
calling
in.
How high of an education do you have?
Let's not do this. Let's not insult each
See,
other.
Arguing with a liberal sometimes
I agree.
Is like playing
She's
with a
started
president.
It is
unbelievable.
I'm not a liberal.
Republican women. Excuse me? It has nothing to do with being a liberal. It has to do with common sense. It has to do with a woman choosing. You think if you're a Republican that you're automatically pro-choice? That's bullshit.
No, I'm saying that it's common sense to defend a baby.
My sister is a Republican, and she is pro-choice.
It has to do with right and wrong, right and wrong, and it's wrong to murder.
But it isn't right for our government to tell women what to do.
Exactly.
Is it right for the government to tell you not to go and murder someone, that it's against the law to murder somebody?
Do you see that stopping? No. But they're trying to stop women from making a choice. And that is wrong on many levels.
The government has laws that say it's illegal for you to take a gun and kill somebody.
And yet
so
it keeps happening,
and
nobody stopped it yet.
But the point is, but what's going to happen is that abortion is going to be outlawed. The simple fact.
Yes. Come on.
Abortion is going to be outlawed.
Well, if abortion is outlawed, then all guns should be outlawed.
Exactly.
That's never going to happen either.
Let me say something. If abortion is going to be outlawed, does it stop? Is it going to still stop abortion? Abortion's going to continue nonetheless. With Roe
versus Wade,
it'll go
to back alley stuff
again.
It'll decrease the number significantly. Absolutely.
These two men are going to adopt them all. That's what they're going to do.
Oh, cool.
They will adopt them all.
No,
What are we adopting exactly?
On top of it. And make them
you're adopting
that.
All the kids that women don't want because you already agreed to it.
Oh, so we're going to adopt all the kids that the women didn't kill. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm happy you admitted that. So this is what it comes down to.
You admitted it, and I'm just repeating what you said earlier.
Exactly. You're advocating for the mass murder of children.
You said you would adopt all the children
that
were...
That's what abortion is.
No way. You can
abortion.
It's a shame one day that this individual is going to wake up and feel very sad and impart what they're talking about and saying the things that they're saying. They will learn one day.
They don't even comprehend it. How evil would that be?
You don't comprehend
it.
You don't comprehend shit, dude.
You're the one advocating for child murder, okay?
And you're advocating for kids to be shot with guns.
I'm not advocating for kids to be shot. I never said that. What are you talking about?
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Where did that come from? Where? When did I do that?
You're talking about school shootings. Aren't those gun-free zones? So there's not supposed to be guns in those gun-free zones.
Hopefully.
So it's about breaking the law.
But until you ban weapons, it's going to keep happening. And
weapons
the way government's trying to ban abortion and women's rights.
That's them trying to change
right.
the point and get off the fact that they're for you are for child murder. That's what it comes down to. If you're pro-choice, you have the blood of innocent children.
I'm for the rights of all women on this planet.
The right to do what?
Because men try to take control.
The right to shed the blood of innocent children?
And that's what you guys are trying to sound like. You're trying to take control of all women.
It is the role of every man to defend the weak. That's the role of every man in every society that's ever existed. The weakest people in society are children and babies.
You're not defending women and their rights.
Did he just say the weak?
And you're not human until you're born.
Who are the weakest?
Who is defending the rights of the children? Who is defending the rights of the children?
Time to go. I've had enough.
Of course you've had enough because you've been involved in that child murder.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
No, I don't appreciate it. I do not.
Yeah, that was Joe and Mike. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Mike. Wow. Okay,
no.
I couldn't even get a word in edgewise. Okay,
no.
So John Michael basically saying that, you know, abortion is murder, but I'm saying to them that, you know, it's a woman's body. It should be her right to choose whether the baby is about to die in the womb or it was rape, incest, or if she don't want a baby, she may be poor, don't have a job, she may not be educated, you know. It's her body, her choice.
You're right, David. I'm sorry I got so hot, but I can't when, you know, when they start talking about pulling a baby out piece by piece, and that baby's alive, mm-hmm. that's bullshit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, personally, I'd love them to call back one night, you know, and, you know, have a more structured debate and, you know, back and forth instead of all the shouting over each other. We'll have to listen to what each other's saying, you know, not
my soldier mouth coming out.
Huh?
And my soldier mouth coming out.
That's okay.
Yeah. Well, this is in Michigan. Who is this? Madeline? Who's this?
No.
It's Jessica.
It's Jessica. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, nobody's for the killing of or murdering innocent children.
No,
but
murdering
is
bad. But
crazy.
When it comes to women's rights, women have the rights. And women
mm-hmm.
fought prior to mm-hmm. me being born for women's rights. If they try to
mm-hmm.
take it away, we're just
mm-hmm.
right back to the days of the Renaissance, you know? Come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where you...
Yeah. And
I don't know.
As a man, I get what their point of view, where they're coming from. But the thing is, it's a woman's body, so it's her choice. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
And a lot of conservative men who say, oh, you know, or even conservative people in general, oh, you shouldn't have an abortion. But when the baby's born, they're the same people 9 months later say, oh, geez, look at that welfare queen.
And look at all
yeah.
the children that need a home. There's so many children
mm-hmm.
out there that need a home, and it's
and
so hard to adopt here in the States instead of
exactly.
flying over to Romania or Japan or China to adopt. It's so much easier.
I know.
You know, but they make it so complicated here because I looked into foster
mm-hmm.
care, and 2 weeks before I was supposed to start foster care classes, I found out I was pregnant, and I was on top of the world, you know. I was so
mm-hmm.
happy, and I'm so glad, you know, but if something would have happened because of my diabetes or who knows what, you know, I had a friend, she almost died because her baby was a stillborn in her for a month. She was basically rotting from the inside out. And if she wouldn't have
mm-hmm.
been taken to the hospital the way she was feeling when it happened, she would be dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had no idea
mm-hmm.
the baby died. There was no
mm-hmm.
way of telling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say. There are things that happen, and they don't want to take any of that into consideration.
I know.
They just call you a baby mm-hmm. murderer, you know? And how?
Yep.
And that's just wrong. There are
and
so
my,
many
my
pregnancy
point.
Was
my,
very, very complicated. It was very hard. But I fought tooth and nail,
mm-hmm.
and she was 6.5 weeks early. I almost died.
Mm-hmm.
She could have died. It was bad. But
mm-hmm.
we survived, and she's 12 now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a happy-ass camper.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you know,
right.
But if it
right.
was otherwise,
thing,
I would have to make that mm-hmm. choice. But for people to take
my,
that away,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No.
My other thing.
I mean, if you...
My other, yeah, go ahead, Laura. Make your point.
No. Okay.
No, my,
I,
yeah, my thing is that I keep reiterating it. Abortion will always be there. But Roe versus Wade gave you the option to have safe abortions.
Exactly.
You know, and it's not up to the man in final analysis or to have the final say. It's her body,
mm-hmm.
her choice. You know,
yep.
what don't conservatives get about that? You know, because back alley abortions and, you know, aborting your baby using a hanger, that would kill a lot of women, you know. So
yeah.
back pre-1973, you know, and it's like they're not getting it. And if you're for the protection of children, why not fight the NRA and say, hey, NRA, you know, get it together, man. You know, you have
yep.
these AR-15s, weapons of war, going into schools
right
and everything.
No, they would tell you right out that you they have a choice that, you know, they can have their guns. They will tell you that right out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
what makes me upset, too. I mean,
and
don't even
if I can
come.
Shoot a running mouse in my garage with a BB gun and kill it dead, why do you need an AK or an AR?
Yeah.
You know?
AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I killed 4 with
yeah.
a BB gun because they won't die otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, come on. I got traps, but they don't like them. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Country living.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so Lynn said she's proud of you two ladies. That's my wife. Lynn said she's proud of you two ladies for standing up to Mike and Joe. You know? I mean, I get where they're coming from, but in a final analysis, it's a woman's right because it's her body.
Yep.
You know?
And if there's complications involved or anything like that, we have to have the right to do it the correct way, not the wrong way, where thousands of women died because of it.
Yeah, we're not saying we're for murdering innocent babies. Far from, you know, but, hey.
No,
I'm not even for people getting shot
with
guns, but there's a right way to use a gun and a wrong way, and to go out and mass murder everybody is the wrong way. To have a shotgun for hunting is one thing, but the military, they keep theirs, you know, and the police and stuff. Those are the type of weapons that go with them, and not to shoot up a school or a mall or a concert, you know. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, they got my blood pressure up. I cannot believe that those two men actually think that they can tell a woman what to, do with their body.
Yep. And, yeah, I did make the admittance of, it's killing a baby, but you know what? What about all the other killings? Nobody seems to care about that. They only care about what women do.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Mm-hmm.
And what about
why are they trying to control women? Why are they trying to control women? That's my question. Why men try to control women?
They're trying to go back in time, not forward. They're not trying to better things. They're trying to make everything their way, you know.
It isn't so much their way.
We're supposed to move forward,
it's
not backward.
Down, you know, it's to hold a woman down.
Yep.
That's what it's for. there's no other excuse.
Well, there's some big burly dude
to
running the
world
for Congress of some sort. I can't remember his name. I keep seeing ads for him. And he literally is he's on a recording saying that women shouldn't have the right to vote. I was like, what?
They are that extreme.
Well, is it a guy in Ohio that ran against Marcia Kaptur in District 11 in Ohio? I can't remember his name. The one who lied basically about seeing action in Afghanistan where, you know, he just unloaded airplanes. Is it him?
Maybe. I don't know. But he admitted on tape that women shouldn't vote. It's like, what? You know, everybody that is on the Republican side wants to go back
thing.
In time.
Well, I don't think, you know, Jessica, I don't think that it's all Republicans that want to go back.
No,
that was the point that I was trying to make.
Not every single one. I know
there
some that are pretty cool, but
there are Republican women that are pro-choice. There are, you know, independent voters that are pro-choice. It has nothing to do with liberal. And when they say that, my blood pressure just goes to my head because that makes me angry. You know, it really does, because that's not the point that I was trying to make. The point that we try to make is that we have the choice to do what we want with our bodies. And, of course, you would talk to your doctors. You can talk to your pastor. You can talk to the man that, you know, got you, you know, pregnant. You can, you know, I mean, you can have those discussions. But no politician is going to ever tell a woman, or should never tell a woman, that she cannot have an abortion. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. And if I'm a bad person because of that, so be it. So be it.
I agree.
They're bad people. I think they're not nice men. I wouldn't want to be their wife. That's ridiculous.
No.
We wouldn't get along very well. So that's
cool.
What I have to say about it. I'm sorry, David. I got my blood pressure up. Oh, boy.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Everybody have a right to their opinions, you know. And Mike and Joe believe what they believe.
When he called me a baby murderer, he crossed the line there. That's not true. That is not true. That's a lie. That is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we and nobody should be labeled for that either.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I didn't want
absolutely
this aspiring to name calling and shouting at each other. You know, I want this to like be a civil conversation. You put your point of view forward. You put your encounter, you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
but they weren't too civil either. So.
And Mike calling and everything.
They weren't very civil.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully next time I call, we can be all civil, or they could be civil, and, you know, we'll try to move forward and hear each other's opinions and counteract each other's opinions.
Need an air horn.
So how's Frankfort, Michigan going?
Huh?
So Jessica, how's Frankfort, Michigan politics going? What do you
good,
see
I guess
in the future?
I don't know.
For?
I haven't been watching too much of the news and stuff lately with school
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's been a little
but people
crazy
are ready
to me. So.
Do you think people are ready and motivated to go out to the polls in November this year in your
I believe
area?
So. Yep. I know
mm-hmm.
I am.
And do you think, right, and do you think Democrats will win? I mean, who's your congressperson, for example? You think he or she will win a re-election?
I believe they will, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to say Szabo is one, and I forgot who the other one is. But one,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
shoot. Yeah. I don't have my piece of paper in front of me on who's doing running for what and all that stuff right now. So I'm in the garage because
mm-hmm,
I was
mm-hmm.
smoking because they made me mad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man, yeah. I'm
surprised I didn't whip out the vodka.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
I know. I mean, you know, when you call someone a baby murderer, that really ticked me off. And,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, describing, you know, having the legs pulled off. I mean, give me a break. What kind of...
No, they have ways of making the uterus contract so you can push it out.
Oh.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I don't know where he gets his information from, but...
YouTube.
Yeah. I heard that.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that.
Yep.
All right, so... Jessica, thank you so much for calling in. We
thank
you.
Yeah, you guys have a great evening. Stay warm.
Thank
it's starting
Jessica.
To get cold out.
I know. That's it's fine. Getting chilly. Have a good
yeah.
night, darling.
You guys
bye.
Have a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You too.
Yes, ma'am. That's Jessica in Michigan. Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I'd love for those guys to call back another night and everything. You know, but without name calling, I should be civil. Both sides.
Oh.
You know, but...
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, so,
don't
be sorry about, you know. Everybody is entitled to an opinion, but not
well,
a fact.
Well, I am very passionate about that issue. I am very passionate
mm-hmm.
about that issue. I really am, because we never
mm-hmm.
know in life what's going to happen to us, what's going to happen. You know, I personally had a niece that had a situation where she was given
mm-hmm.
In a pub, you know, something
mm-hmm.
was put in her drink. She left for a minute. She made the mistake of drinking
mm-hmm.
it, and the next morning she woke up and she had been raped. She didn't know what happened
mm-hmm.
to her, and thank
mm-hmm.
God she did not get pregnant. But that's the kind of stuff
mm-hmm.
that I'm talking about. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you know, we have to take things into consideration because we just don't know the situation. So you can't
mm-hmm,
call
mm-hmm.
women baby murderers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with that. I'm done with that.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
All right. So with 26 minutes left, let's wrap up on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think will come up in the June 6th committee? We expect the financial accountant, Janet Strick, yeah. The accountant.
6th?
Yes, my darling,
well,
I just said that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
well, they said, they really have been tight-lipped. They really
mm-hmm.
have been tight-lipped about who's going to, you know, who they're going to, who they have
mm-hmm.
interviewed, et cetera, et cetera. So I really
mm-hmm.
haven't paid that much attention. I did hear about Ginny Thomas
But I don't know who else. Kind of be a surprise. Mm-hmm. But they did say that it is not in stone that this is the last hearing. They said if something else or someone comes forward or other things, they will have more hearings. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm hoping there's an affordable supply in the works.
I hope so. You know, and what do you think the October surprise will be or could be? What are you thinking?
Just laying out the whole dirt and laundry of the Trump administration in terms of, you know, the riots that happen on the Capitol, his financial dealings with Russian banks, his evasion of taxes, New York State attorney or district attorney who pursuing that in Georgia with tampering with election results, calling the Secretary of State of that state to give him 11,000 plus votes. You know, all that way come together, hopefully, and just present it to the Department of Justice and the IRS, and where the chips fall, the fall, you know?
Yes.
And give the American people an option to say that Donald Trump did this, and his intent was with this, and hopefully we can find the documents that are missing, as Susan said earlier, where, you know, some of the files were missing documents, secret, top secret things. You know, where are those? Yeah. Have we given them to China and Russia and North Korea, our enemies?
Yeah.
You know?
Very possible.
That's scary.
Very possible. Well, not only that, he could have he could have gotten money for them, you know? Or, I mean, that man has no, he has no bottom, you know? So, he has no bottom. So, anything is possible with him. But, you know, like what I was saying earlier about H.W. Bush, I mean, he's just grabbing at straws. That's insane, you know, that he took, he took secret documents, you know? I mean, really? Come on. I mean,
It belongs to American people.
You know?
No president of the United States ever done what Donald Trump did. This is a precedent and everything. It's not no witch hunt or anything. He did what he did. By law, it's illegal, so he should stand for the consequences.
Yeah, absolutely. No one is above the law. No one. Sorry, when it comes to democracy, it's got to be no one is above the law. We have to, you know, we have to protect our democracy. We have to, because we don't have, if you don't have that, you have fascism. And we know what that brings, you know.
Yeah.
And they try to talk about socialism and, you know, it's not bad. It truly is not bad, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and if you ask any of these right-wingers what socialism is, it always revert back to, oh, it's communism. No, it's not. Totally different systems.
No.
You know,
absolutely.
Some similarities, but, you know, totally different, you know, and if we didn't have socialism in America, what is Social Security, what is Medicaid, what is Medicare, you know, the fire departments, you know, things like that.
Yeah, we, you know, and the police department and, you know, they fund the roads, they build the bridges, they, you know, they fix the roads. I mean, all of that, you know, your traffic lights, where does that money all come from? Does it fall from trees? No, it's taxpayer dollars. And we're talking about taxpayer dollars for a second. I just wanted to talk about one more thing. One more thing that kind of got me today. You know that the United Nations core budget is $3 billion, all right? New York City's budget is $100 billion, okay? So we have in the world, in the world, we have 2,775 billionaires that are on the current list right now, as of right now. If you combine all their net worth, they are worth $13.1 trillion. Now, just keep in mind that the UN budget was $3 billion and the New York City budget is $100 billion. But we never have enough for any of that, do we? So if they paid their you know, they paid their fair share, we would all have money for everything. You know, the country would have money. The world would have money. But these 2,700 billionaires hold all the wealth. They hold all the wealth. $13.1 trillion between them. I mean, you could probably live on a few billion dollars, couldn't you, in your life? Why do you need all that money? Why? You know, wouldn't that be sufficient? And, you know, and if they paid their fair share out of their trillions of dollars that they have, we'd have a good world, wouldn't we? We'd have roads and bridges and medical facilities and, you know, better health care and, you know, the list goes on, goes on. But they hoard their money because they're greedy. Bottom line. Who needs that kind of money? And, that kind of made me sick.
Yeah, and the thing about billionaires, okay, Republicans give them tax cuts and everything to the corporations and billionaires. And they did say that, oh, yes, it's really going to trickle down because we're going to create more jobs for Americans. But the hoard them in bank accounts in foreign countries and don't pay taxes. So how is that helping the middle class and the working class people? It's not.
It doesn't.
You know?
It does not. You know? You know, and since the pandemic, you know, I think people realize that they don't have to go back to these crappy jobs. You're seeing signs pop up now, you know, $15.25 an hour, $17 an hour, you know, because people don't want to go back to earning $9 an hour, $10 an hour. They want to have a life, at, you know, to be able to pay their bills, you know, because rent keeps going up, gas keeps going up, you know, and of course inflation is the Democrats' fault, you know, it's our fault, you know. And et cetera. But, you know, things just have to change. They have to get better. And the only way to do that is to have a fair democracy and to have a government that works for the people, for the people, not for the corporations, for the people.
Yeah, because corporations aren't people.
No.
And that's what Republicans want to think.
You know, and you, and, you know, and these, you know, these huge corporations like Amazon, they don't, you know, and Starbucks, they don't want unions in their, they don't want their employees to form unions. They have a heart attack whenever they even talk about it, because then they would have to pay them overtime. Then they would have to pay them, you know, maybe have a 401k or, you know, health care. You know, they'd have to take care of their employees. And, you know, they sit there with their billions of dollars, but they don't want to share, you know, and that's just not right. And people are tired of it, you know. I mean, I think a lot of people are making money in different ways now. I've been reading one more. I'll just say one more thing. They're, you know, what is that when they're they deliver food now? You know, they're just they found different ways to make money. And it's starting to worry me. They might worry, you know, it might be worrisome to the, you know, like the Targets and the Walmarts and, you know, the Krogers and, you know, all those stores, because people don't want to work for peanuts and they shouldn't have to.
A Washington Post ABC News poll came out and asked Democratic and Republican voters what's the top two things that you worry about mostly for Republicans. 56% say crime, 54% say inflation. On the Democratic side, abortion is the number one. I mean, climate change is the number one thing, and abortion, number two thing, with 53% and 51% respectively. So it's going to come down, boil down to independence, which side they're going to take. And Republicans have a good way of with words where, you know, the fear monger and have xenophobia. I'm talking about, you know, the wedge issues like abortion and gun control. Nobody trying to take away guns. And all we want is women to have a choice because it's their body, you know?
Yes.
And so,
and they also,
you know,
talk
it's gonna
about,
come
you're right. You're absolutely right. It's going to come down to those things. You're right, David.
And they say it all come down to?
It's going to come down to abortion right, you know, the right to choose, and it's going to come down to, I think you're right about the climate change. That's important, especially to Gen Z. It's really important, and Gen Z also, the pro-choice is important to them as well. And I'm hoping that they're, you know, get out to vote. I truly do. I hope they're, you know, do what they say they're going to do and get out to vote, or else, you know,
you can't
do it all.
Do you think Chadwick Chris will win in Florida? I hope he does.
I hope he does. Now, what in my own mind, I'm thinking because of that hurricane, I don't know if people are going to have the means to vote. You know, are the polling stations going to be open? Are the schools going to be open? I don't know how much was, you know, destruction. I know, like, Sanibel, Fort Myers, those areas were destroyed, basically. I'm not sure. I'm hoping, yes. I'm hoping people do not forget, you know, all the things that, you know, busing the immigrants and the don't say gay and the banning of books and everything else that he, you know, he's done. He's just an extreme right-wing nut job, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Georgia are tight races. I don't know why Georgia is even tight, because Herschel Walker is a liar, you know, and he's trying to manipulate the narrative, and he's afraid to even, you know, debate Senator Warnock. In Pennsylvania, it's pretty much over between Oz and Fetterman. Fetterman should win in a landslide. But Nevada, incumbent Democrat there is a little bit in trouble. But we hope for the best that, you know, the Democratic National Committee and people can, like, donate to her, because we have an extremist there in Nevada challenging her. He's a Trump Republican.
They are.
And in Arizona, is a too close to call race for governor, where Carrie, what's her name, the former TV presenter, she's a Republican nominee, and she have a way with words, and, you know, she twists the truth, and she's also an election denier. So those races are going to be so close, and we need these to win these races if we'll stand a chance in 2024, because they're running for Secretary of State, for the governorships and everything. And if Republican election deniers win those seats, especially for Secretary of State who certify elections, then, you know, God help us in 2024. That's all I have to say.
You're absolutely right. And that worries me as well. It worries me as well.
Republicans have no plan. And if they do have a plan, you know,
no, they have no plan.
Their
plan is to destroy the country.
Chuck Grassley in Iowa, he says in a debate two nights ago with his Democratic opponent that he would vote against a national abortion bill, you know, to make abortion illegal in all 50 states. The lie in the past, the lie again. And Chuck Grassley is 82 years old. He's been in there since 1982. It's time for him
to
box.
He needs
fresh blood.
Yes, we do. You need someone absolutely, you know, going to.
And he's also a Trumper. He's also
absolutely.
A Trumper. Yeah, we need to get rid of Trumpers. They're not good people. I'm sorry.
No, they're extremists.
Crazy. Okay, so I don't know what else is there, but people register to vote. Have a plan, go out there, carry 2-3 people there to the polling station to vote, and make sure you vote. Because if you don't vote, then you have no say. You know, when you wake up the next morning on November 9th, you know, you don't want to be that person to say, oh, I wish I had done more to help in getting Joe Biden a Democratic Congress. You know, because it's life and death of democracies at stake right here. And Republicans have shown their hand, and proven that they don't give a damn about democracy with those riots.
Absolutely. And here in Michigan, I'm hoping that good sense prevails and our, you know, Attorney General, Secretary of State, and of course our governor and Lieutenant Governor, you know, go in for a system. They've done a great job here in Michigan. Our economy is doing well. You know, it. And if you have any questions about voting, there is a Michigan Voting Information Center. It's https://michiganvic.sos/state.michigan.us/home/index. I know that's a lot, but if any questions about voting or about voter registration, you can go online and you can go to the Secretary of State in Michigan.us, and you can ask your questions there. I think you can register to vote until October 24th, I read, but don't quote me on that. But that's what I thought I read.
And someone in Arizona just private messaged me saying that a YouGov.org poll that came out recently, Katie Hobbs, Democrat, is at 49%. Carrie Lake, the Republican, Trumper, is at 49%. So the Arizona race for governor is heating up. Inflation and economy are top on the list and the minds of the voters in Arizona. You know, so we need to get Katie Hobbs in there. We need to get Mark Kelly in there. We need to get all the Democrats reelected and new candidates, like in District 9 in Michigan, Jay elected as congressman. Because Lisa McClain is a dud.
Oh, she's a Trumper. She's a MAGA Trumper, actually. And also Carmel Linga in District 10 is running against John James. So we need to, you know, Carl Merlinga needs to win that seat as well. And if we could win District 9 and 10 that are next to each other, that would be a big chunk and a big deal because, as you know, it's been red for 20 years. So that would be a big deal. That would really make me happy. I'll tell you that right now.
And to close it on a good note, LA City Council President made some racist comments, was caught on tape, and today she resigned. And she apologized, and, you know, she caused damage. And she, So let's hope good sense prevail in this election coming up.
Yes, absolutely. You know, talk to people. Have that conversation, uncomfortable as it is, you know, get heated up like I did tonight. I'm sorry again, but
No need to be sorry. It's a passionate.
Yeah, it's very passionate for me. Yes, for me that is. Women, you know, we're not going backwards. We're not going backwards. Bottom line.
Forward never, backward never.
That's right. Always forward. Always forward.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Okay, so we thank everybody.
I just want I am a proud liberal, by the way. Okay? A proud liberal.
I want to thank Susie and Jessica and... I want to thank Susie and, and Jessica in Michigan for calling in. Mike from Minnesota. I always appreciate when you call to give a different perspective. And first-time caller Joe in North Carolina, thank you for calling. Even though we don't agree, we must agree to disagree and not scream at each other, you know.
This is true.
So hopefully those two guys calling again. I'd love to pick their brains and everything. All right, so till next time, Thursday again, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be back again. This is Kitchen Politics for Monday, October 10th, 2022. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Lori Pica in Michigan. Everyone have a good night. Talk to you soon.
News. No, not that he lost. Not that your little coup attempt failed, and its planners and the attackers are going to jail. No, the really bad news is why Trump told you he lost. Why he set it up way before the 2020 election. It wasn't voter fraud, but it was fraud. Trump told you the election was stolen to whip you off. To sucker you, to take your hard-earned money and shovel it into his pocket. He spent it on himself, not to take back the White House. It was the biggest scam in political history. Every dollar you sent him paid to keep his shaky business empire and lavish lifestyle going. It was a sucker's game all along. And you know who the sucker is? It's you.
When Vladimir Putin invaded a peaceful Ukraine, his brutal shock troops committed hideous war crimes against women, children, and the elderly. When Vladimir Putin invaded towns and villages, America and the world gave Ukraine weapons, supplies, and intelligence. The Ukrainians put their courageous soldiers in the line of fire. With great sacrifice, this alliance broke the invasion, pushed it back, liberated millions. Victory for Ukraine is in sight, but the war isn't over. And the new front is in Washington, where MAGA Republicans want a Putin victory. They'll cut off aid to Ukraine if they take power. You heard that right. They want America to switch sides, help Putin win, threatening us with nuclear annihilation. It's sick. It's wrong. It's MAGA. If they wait in November, Putin wins, and the blood will be on our hands.
The Lincoln Project paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Imagine how many lives could have been saved
Ron DeSantis had spent enough time in the weeks before hurricane season preparing Southwest Florida. Instead of spending time and money trafficking Venezuelan migrants and trolling the news media, imagine.
I think we all project is responsible for the content of this advertising. No guys like this. You know, guys that think they know better than everyone about everything. You know, you think you know better than women and doctors about abortion. You even think you know better than seniors about Social Security. You think you know better than veterans about how to win a war. Folks, we all know guys like this. And we can't be letting them make decisions about us, because it's just dangerous.
We have a really good life in Chicago. He's just going to see his cousins. Even you left Mississippi.
The midterms are only a month away, and one of the most closely watched races is in Georgia, where Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock is being challenged by Herschel Walker, former football star and walking Maury Povich episode. Let's catch up on today's big twist in the race in another installment of Vote Demic 2022. In the very start of this race, Herschel Walker has been one of the loudest champions for a total ban on abortion, which made it a bit awkward this week when a woman accused him of paying her to get one. When the story broke, Herschel Walker said this woman was lying. I don't even know who this lady is. But it turns out that he might be the liar.
More fallout for Georgia's pro-life Senate candidate Herschel Walker after he said he had no idea why a woman would accuse him of paying for her to have an abortion.
Have you figured out who it is?
Not at all. It's sort of like everyone is anonymous or everyone is leaking and they want you to confess to something you have no clue about.
But after Walker made that statement, the woman went public. She is the mother of one of his children.
Oh, ah, that's awkward. Oh, man. He says he doesn't know the woman, but it turns out she is reportedly the mother of one of his kids. So either Herschel Walker is lying or his penis does some crazy shit while he's asleep. Yeah, penis is just like, ah, he's finally out. Time for me to hit the streets and do what a glizzy gotta do. Yeah. Now, after this woman blew up Walker's spot, he didn't exactly withdraw his denial, but he did say that if he paid for an abortion, quote, it's nothing to be ashamed of. And here's the thing, I agree with that. I agree with it. It's not. Unless you're known as the anti-abortion guy. That's literally your thing. It's like if you caught Smokey Bear torching a forest. Remember, only I can dance among the beautiful light of the screaming flames, kids. And now clearly Herschel Walker is willing to run on a platform that he himself doesn't actually believe. But what's been amazing to see is how the Republican Party feels the same way.
There is no perfect person. No way.
He'll do more to change the Senate just by the sheer presence, by his confidence, by his deep commitment to Christ. He's been through a long, tough period. He had a lot of concussions coming out of football. He suffered PTSD.
You're telling me Walker used his money to reportedly pay some skank for an abortion? I don't care if Herschel Walker paid to abort endangered baby eagles. I want control of the Senate.
You know, you got to love it when they say the quiet part out loud. I love it. Abortion is totally unforgivable unless I need to do it. In fact, what you're saying is you're fine with an abortion if you need to win a Senate race, but you're not fine with a woman needing it to save her own life. That's what you're saying. You know, usually you only see this kind of hypocrisy from your landlord. Yeah, if your rent is late by one day, they kick your door in, want to kick you to the curb, but then when it takes them 2 months to fix a leak in the ceiling, suddenly they're like, hey, life happens, be patient, be patient, all right, taking time. And by the way, I'm going to need to charge you extra for the rain coming from your living room. That's a special feature, that's what that is. And by the way, as for the rest of the room, I'm constantly amazed at how quickly Republicans forgive certain people. Huh? They're like, Herschel Walker deserves forgiveness for his sins. I'm not even disagreeing, but it's interesting how quickly they move. Right? But when it comes to prison reform or college debt, suddenly they're like, people have got to pay the price for what they've done. There are consequences in life. You do something, and there's a consequence. I'll be honest, people, I honestly don't understand how any of this makes sense. But I want to. I want to. Which is why I've asked Desi Leidick to fuck explain it to us.
Herschel Walker is under attack by the usual suspects, the mainstream media, the woke left, his children. But what's the real story? Well, I've been watching Fox News for 498 hours straight, and I'm ready to explain why Herschel Walker is the biggest victim of cancel culture since the Chaco Taco. I don't care if Herschel Walker aborted baby eagles. I don't care if he aborted baby kangaroos. I don't care if he aborted baby otters. I've advanced on all the petting zoos, and I don't give a fuck. I'm sorry, but we're supposed to believe all these stories from Herschel Walker's kids? They've never even met Herschel Walker. Even if he did pay for that woman's abortion, that just proves that he's a gentleman. Sorry, Benanasi, but chivalry is not dead. What is an abortion? It's not stopping a freeloader from coming across the southern border. What would Jesus do? Seriously, I'm asking. Herschel represents American values. Football. College football. We are so close to the Senate. We cannot let our dreams be crushed by one unplanned pregnancy. Wait. I don't care what Herschel Walker did. As long as he gets in the Senate, we can stop other people from doing what he did, which he didn't do. It doesn't matter what Herschel Walker did in the past. It matters what he does starting now. He got caught doing what? Starting now.
How it started. How it's going.
In a Truth Social post over the weekend, Trump hit McConnell for helping Democrats pass a bill to keep the government up and running. Trump, writing McConnell, has a quote, death wish, and referring to his wife as, quote, China-loving Coco Chow.
I'm sorry. Guy's contract with America. How'd that go? In a few days, the MAGAs will try to sell you another contract for America. Everything they're promising is already happening with President Biden. An economy that works for all Americans? Check. Record job growth. Good-paying jobs growing our economy. That's Biden, not MAGA. Peace through strength. Ask Ukraine who stands with them. Who stands with Russia? Energy independence? Yeah, Biden's got that. Safe and secure communities. Check. Millions to improve policing. Protecting our communities and civil rights. Fight to end government corruption and drain the swamp. Who are they kidding? For 7 years, they left us holding the bag and paying the bill for their reckless spending and bad ideas. Their new contract with America? Promises they'll never keep. But Joe Biden and the Democrats deliver. It's not often Arizona has a leader who's already proven himself in service to our country. That leader is Mark Kelly. Arizona has been lucky to have senators who put country over party and people over politics. Now Mark is ready to carry on that great Arizona tradition. Patriot, U.S. Navy pilot, American astronaut. Tested. Courageous. Sick. Mark makes Arizona and the country proud. Mark Kelly, a history of service, a record of accomplishment, independent leader, and a proven American patriot.
Here we are in the flight deck of Endeavor, flight day one.
Mark Kelly, an Arizona hero who always makes us proud.